Good morning, and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Vice Admiral John Harvey, Jr., Chief of Naval Personnel and Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Manpower, Personnel, Training, and Education. Good morning, Admiral.
Good morning.
And joining us in our conversation is Bob Bleimeister, partner in IBM's Human Capital Practice. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Admiral, can you tell us about the mission of your office and how it supports the mission of the Department and the Navy specifically?
Certainly. I think the best way to think of it is I am the Navy's people guy. I represent every aspect of the people part of our Navy, the best talent that our nation has to offer, and how we bring them into the Navy, how we take them through the Navy, their training, their education, their assignments, and then how we either retain them up to the point where it's time to retire or they separate and go on to another career. So it's a pretty all-consuming version or view of the people in the Navy and everything about their lives with us in uniform.
Admiral, I probably should have asked you this to start with, but perhaps you can give us a sense of the scale here. When you say Navy, how big is the Navy? The military, the reserves, civilians? And can you relate this size to the scope of your efforts and how your office is organized? And perhaps you can tell us a little bit about the budget that you manage.
Sure. The numbers will, I think, make clear that we stay pretty busy. On active duty today, in the active duty force, we have about 350,000 sailors. That's officers and enlisted. About 50,000 officers and about 293,000 enlisted, with 4,400 midshipmen at the Naval Academy on our books. For the reserve component of the Navy, for the ready reserve, it's a total of about another 130,000, with 70,000 in our selective reserve who we have in a drilling status, who we still see in Iraq and Afghanistan and around the world in various places, and in our individual ready reserve who are on standby working through their lives but on our books as potential to serve, and that's about 60,000. When you look at the civilian component, which I am not strictly responsible for, then that's another 175,000 individuals. So when you total it all up, we get close to 900,000 folks, you know, in the Department of the Navy doing the nation's business every day. Now, in terms of my budget, I spend about $30 billion a year in terms of direct cost on our military personnel accounts. That's pay and allowances, training costs, et cetera. So it's a pretty hefty sum to take care of all those folks.
So just to clarify, in terms of the scope, it is the men and women in uniform, both
correct,
active and in reserves, but not the civilians.
That is correct.
Admiral, you've got a dual title, Chief of Naval Personnel and Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Manpower, Personnel, Training, and Education. Could you describe in a little more detail your personal role and responsibilities?
Absolutely. When you look at the title Chief of Naval Personnel, that's rooted in law and deeply rooted in our history. The first chief of the Bureau was put in office in 1862. And that was a result to the growing demands of a rapidly expanding Navy in the Civil War, when you used to just bring in and pay off the crew members, you know, on the ship and never worried about anything beyond that immediate tour of duty. When they expanded the Navy to fight the war, they realized that model was not going to be a model for success. So today, you know, the Chief of Naval Personnel is responsible for the recruiting function of all our officers enlisted, the training function, across the board, getting them ready for what we want them to do, distributing them throughout the Navy to where we need them to be, and then, again, retaining those that we want to keep in for the career, who want to stay with us, who we want to stay up to the point where it's time to either retire or separate. So that's kind of the today job. There's a future look to it, which is the Deputy Chief of Naval Operations, where I look ahead and say, okay, here's what the Navy's structure is going to be 5, 10, 15 years from now. What do we have to lay in terms of our plans and policies to ensure we have the right kind of people to match that kind of structure for the global environment we expect to face out at that time frame? So that's the future look, if you will, and making sure we have those roadmaps in place to get us from today to what we believe will be our future that will match up with what we think the Navy is going to look like at that time as well.
Admiral, you've had a very interesting career until you took over this job about a little over a year ago. Could you talk about how your career in the Navy started and leading up a bit to before you took this role?
Yeah, certainly. Like so many others, it started at the Naval Academy, and I graduated from there in 1973 with a degree in political science. Well, I don't want to go into too much into details of that. It's important because one of the really big things I learned there set me on the path that has carried me through for 33 years. And I was a political science major, and I loved it. And the math and science and technology, the physics, electrical engineering didn't come that easy to me. And because it didn't, I sort of avoided it and didn't perhaps make the level of effort I needed to along the way. But I went on a summer cruise and realized that at its heart, this was a technologically oriented Navy, and that to make the most of the ships, the aircraft, and the systems that we operate, you really do have to have a deep understanding of what it is, the fundamentals of what you're doing. And so I looked around. I said getting into the nuclear propulsion program would be a way of helping to really upgrade my technical side of my education. And that was putting it mildly. I was lucky enough that I had a good enough foundation to go and be interviewed by Admiral Rickover, be accepted into the nuclear propulsion program. And since that time, I've been able to blend together my desire to command a ship with a career working my way through the surface side of the nuclear propulsion program, where I ended up as a reactor officer on board an aircraft carrier, as well as being able to go on to command a destroyer and a cruiser. So I've blended the nuclear side, the nuclear propulsion side of our Navy, with the surface side, and that sort of defined my at-sea career. And then on the shore side of the house, when you weren't at sea, just by accident, I developed a subspecialty in the people business. And it was purely just a random assignment when I was younger, but I really loved it. I mean, I really enjoyed every aspect of dealing with the individuals and finding out what makes them tick and how do we find the best fit for their knowledge, skills, abilities, and talents in our great Navy. And so I stayed with that on the shore side and worked the personnel piece and then the manpower policy piece. And so it just so happened I ended up ready to be given the job that I have today. So combination of good fortune, good experiences, and great teachers that made this all happen.
For someone who admitted that they didn't care for math or physics too much, that leap into the nuclear program must have taken a lot of courage.
It was a non-trivial event, let me tell you.
It's one of those life-defining moments.
Right, it really was. It was a very challenging program, and I just can't overemphasize what it meant, you know, the sense of accomplishment that it gave me when I came through the program, and I didn't just sort of reach the finish line and collapse. I mean, I went through well, and it really gave me a lot of confidence for the future, and I have always felt it was one of the best decisions I ever made, was one of the first ones I ever made.
Admiral, you have served in a variety of roles, and you've just described some of them. But can you tell us, based on some of these experiences, how have they prepared you for your current leadership role and have informed your management approach and your current leadership style?
Well, I think one of the very important things I do today is to convey to our Chief of Naval Operations, to our senior leadership, the Secretary of the Navy, a sense of the force. A sense of the people. How do they view themselves and their Navy, their place in the Navy, their future, their opportunities? Are their capabilities being exploited to the maximum that there is? And so that's a very important thing for me to understand and be able to pick up on what that is and then turn that into something coherent for our CNO. Here's where we need to be worried about. Here's things we need to be focused on, and here's where we need to be headed for the future. So my experience is in command of a battle group, of a cruiser, of a destroyer, and then my experiences ashore in the people business, I think, have really helped me be able to develop that sense for where the force is and what we need to be worried about, thinking about, and doing. And that's the first big thing. The second big thing is really getting a bead on the future, having a good understanding of where the rest of the Navy is headed so we can integrate the human capability with the technological capability we're building, understanding the global environment we're going to be in, and then pushing that forward. And so I've been very fortunate to have some tours, whether it's my postgraduate education, my experiences when I work in the Office of the Secretary of Defense for policy, getting a global view of that, and then some other jobs I've had on the Navy staff where I've understood what the future is in our ships and airplanes and our weapon systems. So to blend that together to help give that good, coherent picture that the people need to fit into.
Excellent. How is the Navy transforming, maintaining, and shaping its force structure? We will ask Vice Admiral John Harvey, Jr., Chief of Naval Personnel and Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Manpower, Personnel, Training, and Education to discuss this with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.